So this title could be a bit catchy for some of us. All right. For those who do not know Cantonese, right? Can you just wave your hand? Cantonese. 唔識講廣東話嘅 Cantonese. All right. Let me just make sure I clear some of the doubts. Okay, Ken. All right. So today's sermon title comes in the form of a chicken there. Fellowship or fellowship. Ah, that's Cantonese lah. Fellowship lah. We have been covering a part, okay, since July all the way until September that talks about worship, that focuses upon worship. And in July 7, we talk about vital worship. After that, power prayer by Deacon Bruce, because worship is the act and the habit of worship is that the person will have prayer in his life. So if we really want to know whether the person is a worshipful person, look at the prayer life. A person who worships God prays to God. And of course, after that, we talk about the purpose of worship, a lifestyle of worship, and also the givers who please God. Out of the act of worship, out of worshiping God, we give. All right, so that concludes on the whole setup regarding worship. And today we are going to move into a next session, which is fellowship. Right? So what comes to mind when we use the term fellowship? That, for me, 2001. All right, as some of you know my passion or my interest, my hobby is to watch movies. All right, so there will be movies here and there, especially the sermon today, right? Because that's who I am. God has created me to enjoy movies, and with movies, we only watch the 2 hours, 3 hours, and it's done. There's no need for me to go back and think about it too much, because if we go for drama, you have 16 episodes, first season, second season, third season, that will take a long time. Now, first came to mind when I used the word fellowship, The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Rings. And even the people outside in the world, if they are not Christian, they know that a fellowship means a group of people that is not related. You have dwarves there, you have a hobbit there, you have the elves there, and all this, sharing a common mission. And according to this movie, the mission is to destroy the ring. So fellowship to the world, it means, at least to them, is that there is a gathering of people. It can be different groups of people, different kind of people, but they have a common focus. They have a common mission. Now, what about Christians? What do we understand about Christian fellowship? Does this come to mind? Very often, when we talk about Christian fellowship, food must be present. And very often, when we look at the attendance, right, when we go for fellowship, when we mention food, the attendance spike up. Immediately, people turn out for the fellowship session. Now, is our Christian fellowship only limited to when there's food? Can we have fellowship without food? Can we have fellowship, Christian fellowship, with food? Can. Even better, right? But the fellowship that I want to talk this morning is not about being fat, fellow, right? Being fat, tummy there. But rather, it is this one. I asked Katie from Hong Kong how to type fail in Cantonese. And apparently, it is the same word as fatty, fellow. But here, we are looking at doing Christian fellowship in a failed manner. And why we fail? Because of this very simple explanation, or rather, very simple concerns there. We fail in our Christian fellowship because we have superficial connection. Hi, bye. Hello, good to see you. Bye, see you next week. Very superficial connection. We fail in our Christian fellowship when we have exclusion. This one only, this group. You cannot join in. You are underage, you are overage, whatever. Right? We have exclusion in that fellowship. Okay? And then, of course, sometimes we fail in our fellowship because all we do in the fellowship is gossip. hey, you know, the thing, voila, who are they? Right? So gossip make us fail in our fellowship because it creates division, it creates mistrust within the community. Now, the next one when we do a failed fellowship is that when we have lack of accountability. So when we say that, you know, let's meet up. Let's meet up once a month. Let's meet up twice a month. Let's do Bible study together. But you say, I don't want. Right? There's a lack of accountability. You know, I just do my life. You do your life. We meet up on Sunday. And of course, there are certain CG, there are certain ministry that has a dominance of certain voices that, you know, it doesn't matter whether I'm there or not, because ultimately, it doesn't matter. Failure to listen, lack of vulnerability, there was a judgmental attitude, whether we ignore the spiritual needs, or whether we are infrequent, inconsistent in our gathering, all this make us fail in our Christian fellowship within the church, outside of church, with one another. And prayerfully, this is not with God. We share the fellowship with God, with the Holy Spirit, and together we share a fellowship with one another. So there's a vertical line with God, there's a horizontal line with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. By knowing all this, we can strive to focus on the healthy one, on a healthy Christian fellowship from the scripture that encourages genuine connection and ultimately spiritual growth in us. So when we talk about fellowship, prayerfully, hopefully, some of us, we think about this, right? Study the word, sharing or showing hospitality with one another. You notice that food is up there, there's growth up there, there's care up there, there are sharing of laughter up there. And ultimately, all this is to bring us to be more Christ-like. So this is the intention of Christian fellowship in the church, if done right. If we do it correctly, this is what will happen in the church. So let's go back to the word fellowship, right? Koinonia, this word appears about 19 times in most editions of the Greek New Testament. It started in the New Testament. There's no such word in the Old Testament. It is Greek, and it can be translated as fellowship, the word fellowship, for 12 times, sharing 3 times, participation 2 times, and contribution also 2 times. Now, it is always, always associated with a holy covenantal fellowship. Holy, set apart for God. Covenantal because we are in Jesus Christ. Now, this first appeared in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 all the way to 41, 42 to 47, describing the early church. Now, look this. To get into this fellowship, there's a condition. In verse 36, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. That was verse 36. Now, verse 37, when the people heard this from Peter, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And those who accepted this message, his message, were baptized, and about 3,000 were added into the family that day. There was a condition. We can only use Christian fellowship when we deal with brothers and sisters in Christ. When I have repented of my sin, and you have been repented of your sin, and together we share this holy and covenantal fellowship within us. Only then, we can say that we share Christian fellowship with one another. Or else, we could be the fellowship of the ring, the fellowship of the food, the fellowship of what else, what any other things. So fellowship is meant for those who have repented. It is meant for those who have repented. So if you claim that you have repented of your sin, you claim that you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, then this applies to us today. Then Hebrews chapter 10 verses 24 to 25 applies to us today. Now, if we don't obey this, it is simply saying that we have not repented. It is simply saying that I don't care about God's instruction. So either we do this right, or we don't do it at all. Because ultimately, there's no difference. It means that we disobey God's instruction. It means that we have disobeyed God's instruction. Now let me read to you Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, this happened 2,000 years ago. So, believers, Christian fellowship, they have been doing it wrong since the beginning, you know, 2,000 years ago. So, this is not a normal or not a very new phenomenon. All right? This is an important element in the New Testament, the early church. And that should be the example we follow. Right? So here, describe a bit about the early church, right? From Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. The Holy Spirit filled the apostle gave the message of God, 3,000 turn, and that started the early church. They not only share in the Holy Spirit, but they share all aspects of life together. From meals, sharing of meals, from sharing of homes, from sharing of money. Now, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. And this passage gives us a very beautiful elaboration of what community living as a Christian looks like. Now, you notice that this is not so today. Maybe in Malaysia. I thank God because I had the opportunity to travel to China and I see this in the believers there. They are old gong gong and popo. Before they even go down to the field to work, 5 o'clock in the morning, they come together in the church. They do Bible study together. They pray for one another. After that, they prepare breakfast together. They eat breakfast together. And after that, they go to the field together. At about lunchtime, they come back to the church, they cook again, and then they have meal again, they pray together again, they give thanks, then continue their work in the field. And towards the end of the day, by 5 o'clock, they once again come back to the church, they cook, they give thanks, they study the Bible, and then by 7 o'clock, they dismiss, going back to their own home, calling it a day. Yes, it may not be possible in our current situation here in Malaysia, more so in the urban setting. We are separated quite far apart. It is not so possible in a way today. That is why we ought to take every opportunity possible to come together, to gather together, to share a meal together, to Bible study together, to pray together, to fellowship together, so that we can be blessed. My CG, we had a meeting. We do it twice a month on the first and third Friday of the month. And in the first Friday in November, we didn't go through our usual Bible study because it has been about 1 month since we met. I traveled for the mission trip and all this. So we haven't met for 1 month. So we have been sharing and pouring out our life, you know, how God has been blessing our life, how God has been guiding our life, some of our challenges as well. And out of the sudden, this came into the picture, right? They were sharing about what series they watched during the MCO. And how many of you actually know this series? Okay. How many of you actually finish it? Wow. Okay. Amazing. Amazing. I don't have the time to go through the series. But this series talks about this Mike Ross. He has a photographic memory. And without going to law school, he actually practiced law. And I'm not sure whether the Google captured my intention of the sermon today. Google actually gave me a preview of this season 5, episode 14, where Mike Ross have a mock trial in front of the lawyer firm, right? So he was accused of being a fraud, and then he is going to face the court for being a fraud. So if anything goes, he will have to serve 7 years, right? So this actually captured my mind, and to think that, you know, we could be a fraud in our faith. If you remember Brother AJ 2 weeks before, he shared about a life of a Christian, of a believer, a spirit-filled one. And he mentioned that, are we a PWC, power words Christian? What does it mean? Anyone of you still remember? It means that whenever we face things or we go our life, when we speak to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, we can always spur out verses. Now, I'm not saying that's not a good thing, but sometimes when we do that, we think that we are self-sufficient. We don't need God. We don't need fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to remind us of our current situation. Sometimes when we dress up nice, you know, I'm not too bad, I think, right? We dress up nice to church. When we see each other, we think that everyone is going well. Everything is well in our life. And very often, we stop there. We do not let people go underneath our shirt. I'm not going to undress myself, right? But inside us, there are holes, there are pockets. It may be broken, it may be torn. But we are hiding ourselves with a nice coat, with power words from the Bible that talks about power. You know, for the Spirit of God gave us not to make us give us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So I'm okay. Isaiah 41 verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. I know that God is with me, so I am okay. I don't need you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you, and for my power is made perfect in weakness. I am okay. There's no weakness in me because God's grace is enough for me. And all these are power verses from the Bible that we may, you know, trick ourselves to thinking that we do not need our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We need God and God alone. Is that true? I had an issue with my right shoulder. And somebody gave us, you know, the playset. And it actually thrilled my both my daughters. And we have Dr. Krista and Dr. Christine in the house. So Dr. Krista, 3 years old, she will look at my arm, you know, using all the whatever instruments available, knock here, knock there. And ultimately, you will notice that she is still a make-believe doctor. Problem with my right arm, she gave me nose drop. Dr. Christine holds a knife and wants to open me up. Sometimes we could be like that in the church. Because sometimes we come to the church thinking that our fellow brothers and sisters could be the medicine, or could be the doctor that is going to heal us. Brothers and sisters, we are not. We hope that we are the doctor and the hospital that can help our fellow brothers and sisters who have some issues. But ultimately, we are not. We are not a doctor with such, you know, nice clothing on the outside. All of us are here because we need Jesus Christ. We need God. And God is going to use the fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage us, and to place our faith in how they treat us. Because if we don't do that, we are going to do Christian fellowship wrong. So when we place our faith only in our brothers and sisters and not God, we are going to be disappointed. Aiya, this brother didn't greet me, or pastor didn't greet me this morning. I leave church. That brother called me by my wrong name. I feel bad. I leave church. So when we place our trust in our brothers and sisters alone, that causes problem. If we place our trust in God alone and not involving our brothers and sisters, that too is a problem. If you look at the cross, remember, we have a vertical fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and we have a horizontal fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Together, they make the cross. Together, this is what we are called to be a Christian. Not one or the other. So as we look at fellowship, it is as a means of perseverance. So that we see that, you know, yes, I struggle, this brother struggle, that sister struggle. It is common. And we don't have to hide it with our coat. Fellowship is a time where we can come together and be open, be vulnerable, and, you know, God will use us to bless our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So out of this, very simple 5 points. Fellowship is a mutual bond that Christians have with Christ that pulls us in a deep eternal relationship with one another, the cross. Without Jesus Christ, nothing works. If we remove God from the picture, nothing works. Making it to the end of faith shows that we were real, that we had indeed come to share in Christ. If we share Christian fellowship in the correct manner, it shows to the world that we are doing Christianity right. Not NATO, no action talk only. But sadly, we notice that, you know, the world has been looking at us, you know, even Christians fight. How then can we be a good testimony to the world? We were not saved to be silent. We were saved to live out our faith, starting in the church, and from there, spread to the workplace, the place that God has called us to be. And fellowship means that we are God's appointed means to keep our brothers or sisters from falling into sin. I had a great fellowship with some of our brothers here. So when I did something wrong, you know, they will approach me saying that, you know, Pastor, let's go for a meal. Food. Must have food. And from there, after we share the meal, then we go into fellowship to build each other up, to reconcile with one another, and truly, that is a wonderful experience. Every exchange with others counts for eternity. We have to understand that. Right? We are either weakening people's affection for God or strengthening them. So as we share in Christian fellowship, are we pushing our fellow brothers and sisters away, further away, 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 away from God? Or are we strengthening our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ so that our relationship with one another, our relationship with God is strengthened? And every sermon, every conversation is a means of final salvation. There are no meaningless moments. Anything that we go through in our Christian walk, in our journey of faith, with brothers and sisters in Christ, in Christian fellowship, is never in vain. It's never in vain. It is an investment into eternity, and that is why we need one another. Not only to be saved from the penalty of sin, Jesus done that. Saved from the pollution of sin, yes, we need each other to keep each other in check, accountability. We also need each other to be saved from the power of sin, to remind one another to continue in our journey, and only God can save us from the presence of sin. So again, vertical relationship, horizontal relationship. Now, after speaking all this, practical ways. Encouragement and support. How do we encourage and support one another? Do you have that encouragement and support that you look for in the church? If not, where can we look for that? Are we stirring each other up for good works? Encouraging one another to serve? We are stronger together. We have to find intention in our relationship. We have to be intentional. I want to be in a Christian fellowship here in Kuala Lumpur Baptist Church, the Sapak City. You have to make that intention known. You have to make effort to make sure that it is done. And you can do that by volunteering in some of the ministry. You can do that by showing act of kindness to one another. And you can do that simply by supporting each other through difficult times. As we spend time together, whether in the cell group, connect group, whether in the Bible study, whether in serving one another as an usher, worship team, downstairs in the refreshment, all this service will help us to increase the opportunity for fellowship, to talk. Accountability. Are we meeting regularly to be accountable to one another? You know, discipleship group, I'll be talking about that in the near future next year, about discipleship, how we can be accountable to one another as we continue to grow together in groups of three, smaller groups, right? So when we are together, we can spur each other to be accountable and to do good works together. And all this must be aligned with the Bible. And we are called also to build out our community here and fellowship. Christian fellowship will strengthen the bonds among believers. Because at some point of our time, we are going through the same challenges. And especially the more mature Christians, they are always a blessing in the church because they have gone through life more than me. Cantonese, right? They eat salt more than I eat rice, literal translation. And of course, lastly, we are called into fellowship in preparation for the future. Are you ready for the future? Do you know what your future lies? Where your future lies? Where is your future? Jesus is coming back. It is a reminder for us to get ready and fellowship with one another, serve as a hope, knowing that ultimately we are going to be brothers and sisters sharing the heavenly kingdom in the future. And I pray that this will be the motivation that each of us have so that we can do fellowship the right way. All right? So these are some of the ways that we can do fellowship together, to be involved in service, in supporting one another, to be charitable, and to share, to show hospitality, especially to our new friends, and to enjoy leisure, you know, food, badminton. We are looking into pickleball in the church as well. So all these are leisure that we can share with one another, that we can build up Christian fellowship. And of course, next sermon, I'll be talking about the Lord's Supper and baptism. And we'll talk about on the 1-5 in the next sermon. So we can do all this within the church setting and be part of the church to have Christian fellowship together. Now, having said all that, the evil one will not let us go. When we are convicted to do something, when we are moved to do something, the evil one will not sit still and let us do it. Because all this that the sermon, you know, the Bible, the scripture is telling us to do brings glory to God. And the evil one definitely don't want that. It is against God. So I find this an encouragement so that we can continue to have fellowship, so that we can continue to study the Bible, so that we can continue to pray. Because when a Christian shuns fellowship with other Christians, the devil smiles. When the Christian stops studying the Bible, the devil laughs. And when he stops praying, the devil shouts for joy. Dear brothers and sisters, we are in a war, whether you like it or not. We are in a war with our flesh, with perhaps temptations from the evil one. But prayerfully, God will carry us through with the sermon, with the Bible study, with Christian fellowship. Because at moment, in our moment of weakness, we know that there will be our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who will carry us through together. So would you obey the instruction as I close? to consider baptism into the church family. If you have been a believer, that you have accepted Christ, you have repented of your sin, you have prayed the sinner's prayer, but have yet to be baptized into the family, may I challenge you to consider baptism. Would you obey the instruction to have fellowship with fellow believers through the Connect group that we have or ministry-related services? We are going to launch and encourage ministries for you to be part of next Sunday and prayerfully for those who have yet to serve God in the various ministry available in the church, you will take up the challenge to be part of a ministry. Would you obey the instruction to encourage and to support one another in our journey of faith by being in the Connect group, by being in the ministry, so that we can have increased encounter with one another, that we can ultimately encourage one another through the CG, through the prayer, through the worship, and through the ministry related in the church? Would you obey the instruction to build up the local church and to prepare for the day to come? Would you obey the instruction to make sure that the talents, the gifts that God has blessed you with, you will commit to build up God's church in preparation for the day to come? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the message this morning. Lord, we know that it is going to be challenging, especially for some of us. Lord, there are some of us who may be fearful. We may be fearful, Lord, because we may be ashamed of looking into by the people around us that we spend time in church. We may be fearful, Lord, because of the past hurt that we have encountered with some of the brothers and sisters in Christ in the church setting. Lord, we pray that you will grant us the strength. And also, Lord, for the reconciliation among brothers and sisters within the church, so that together, Lord, we can bring forth your glory in this place. That Christian fellowship is not only talk, but Lord, there is action. And we want to be convicted to live out a life that shares Christian fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we also ask that you help us to look into our life, especially for those who may be fussy about churches. Lord, this church doesn't suit my taste. It doesn't do worship like it ought to be. Lord, they are not doing the Connect group right. Lord, the refreshment food doesn't feed my appetite. Lord, we ask that you help, especially those who are fussy in the church, Lord, to be able to see that it is God, you have called all men to you. None of us is higher than one another. None of us is less worthy of the gospel. So Lord, we pray that for those who are fussy in the church, Lord, you help them to see that we are equal and this is a place where we can grow as a family. So that, Lord, we can share our compassion for one another. We can live out a life that is kind to the people that we don't think deserve it. This is a place, Lord, that you have placed us where we can exercise Christ-likeness. And we pray that you will remove our fussiness. And Lord, for some of us, we may be not going to Christian fellowship or we are not part of Christian fellowship because of conceitfulness in our life. Some of us may think that, Lord, we just come to church on Sunday. That's all we need. We don't need fellow brothers and sisters in life. We can live our faith by ourselves because we only need God and God alone. Lord, we pray that you will help us and you will refute us, Lord. You will help us to know that this is a wrong concept. That yes, we are to share a vertical relationship with you, to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But Lord, we cannot ignore the horizontal fellowship that you call us to be. That we are to share Christian fellowship in the church. So Lord, for those who are prideful, thinking that we don't need anyone else, Lord, we help us that you help us to see that we are not an island for ourselves. But Lord, together we are your church. That as we contribute into the lives of the people, of our fellow brothers and sisters, Lord, we are contributing in the eternal heavenly kingdom. And Lord, we ask that you help us to remove our pride, to remove our conceitfulness, because we can never live the Christian life and neglect the fellowship of the church. So Lord, if we see any things that require mending, that requires working on, we ask that, Lord, you will convict the hearts of our fellow brothers and sisters to come and talk to the pastors, talk to the leadership, talk to Deacon Bruce, so that we are aware of the challenges that the church is currently facing. And we want to thank you for the fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who have been doing that all along. We want to thank you for their faithfulness in looking into problems to be solved. We want to thank you for their lives, Lord, that they have made an impact to make this church here a better one for your glory. So Lord, we want to thank you for the many who have contributed to building up the church at Kuala Lumpur Baptist Church, their capacity. And we pray that, Lord, even more, you jump into the ship and be part of this church. So that ultimately, Lord, our life will be one that is glorifying you, and our life will be one that is going to pull the people around us into your church to hear of the good news, that they can make a decision whether they put their faith in you and repent of their sin. So Lord, help us to grow as a church. We are not there yet, but Lord, we are willing to learn together as a church. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.